talking about time and space, right? Right? Talking about time and space, right? Male and female, knowing and being. So this is time. This is time. This is space. This is the waves and ripples that roll infinitely through space, right? Isn't it? So this is the consort, so that's her face there, see? You see it? Do you have a bell? Do any of you have bells?
Do you have a bell?
Well, we're as belled as we can be at the moment. That would be space and that would be time, right?
Okay.
You hold the other end. Yeah. So on this, like, you can see the face of the consort? So show the people behind you if you can see it. You're holding it. Yeah, so that's the face of the consort. So show it to the people behind you.
It's the back of the head there.
Could you see it, June, or does he need to pass it back?
No, I can see it. Because if I take my glasses off, I can see it.
Yeah. Okay. So you all seen it?
Mm-hmm.
And this is time. Because this is the five aggregates in union or directing the five elements for purpose. So this is like cause and effect. This is dependent origination. Dependent on this arises. Dependent on this arises, right? Hi. Is that clear? You want me to say it a different way? You're not going to answer no matter what I ask?
Yeah, say it a different way.
This is space, or being, because this is the infinite waves and ripples that move continuously. You notice that if you just sit still and watch, there's no end of impulses that run through your body. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Every desire runs, comes into being and passes away, arises and falls endlessly, like this, like, right? Doesn't it? Endlessly. So there's continuous waves and ripples moving through all. So this is like the great wisdom of the Dharma Dhatu. This is the wisdom, this is the water of all possibility. Any one of those that you actually focus on and start directing the five aggregates in form in relation with the five elements to work on or manifest, that's time. This is the water of all possibility and this is doing something about it. Straightforward? So this is time and this is space, so this is knowing and this is being. This shows the result of action. The world shows you what you've done. The world shows you your intention. Because how something forms is by intention. You know that. You know that if you intend to break a window and you throw a stone and the window breaks, there is a part of you that immediately feels quite comfortable about that in a certain way. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yes.
And if you intend to throw a stone to see whether the law of gravity is still working today and it hits a window and it breaks, there's a part of you that goes, oh, damn, I should have looked, right?
Mm-hmm.
The comfortable part also hides it, doesn't it? The one that feels comfortable with it. Sort of hides it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you intend to do something, it tends to be a sense of separating yourself from. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Yeah.
If you intend to do something, there is a sense of separating yourself somehow.
From what?
From anything. From everything. Well, I'm going to do this. And if the intention is to negate something else, then there is a feeling of satisfaction when you actually make a difference between you and other. Is that true? Like, you know, oh good, they failed. That makes sense? Well, anyway, this thing about, in the Abhidhamma, they talk about the fact that matter always shows the result of any intention. It always carries the mark. And Rinpoche used to, every once in a while, in his early days of teaching, used to have us pick up things and see if we could read the background or history of it. Because in his early days he wasn't so careful about, you know, being seen as a Do you understand what I mean? He wasn't so concerned about what people's responses to psychic powers or things were. And he got more involved and, you know, the acid days, and he watched some people starting to freak out, you know, and he thought, okay, well, I guess we have to be a little more careful who we talk to here. That makes sense? Mm-hmm. It was the 60s, after all, you understand. So this always bears, there's always a reverberation, an echo of the intention that hit it, moving endlessly in spaciousness. So when you're holding the bell to ring it, there are different ways of ringing it. Basically, you pretty well always put your thumb on the face of the consort and your two fingers like this. Got that? Your thumb on the face and your two fingers on the back of the head. Okay? And then you tilt it slightly. You're not ringing it yet. It's okay. You tilt it slightly. See how I've got it tilted slightly? Right? Yeah. Just tilt it slightly. That's great. It's fine if it rings. Tilt it just a bit more. Okay. Do you see which way yours is tilted? Do you see where the ringer is hitting?
Yes.
Okay. So then when you're going to ring it slowly, which is you do, what you do when you, when it says ring the bell once, one line, you just go like this. Sometimes it says in the instruction, or it won't say, but your teacher will tell you if they give you proper teaching about how to do it, that you should ring it in a swinging notion, in which way you go like this, you go like this. I'm so used to doing it with the... So there are all these different ways of ringing the bell. And sometimes it says ring the bell once every line, so you go... And then when you really have finished saying something that you want to happen, may there be happiness. May all crops increase. May all demons be satisfied. May I quit being such a smartass. Right? So that's basically really the only time you ring a bell like that is when you called someone to come and they're appearing. Or when you're making a vow that you really want to happen. Most of the time you need to ring the bell this way. Or this way. Just with your wrist. Neat, huh? I just thought you might like a little bell ringing instruction. Mm-hmm. Are you passing them on? Pass them on so other people can try the bell in Georgia.
And the Georgia
yeah.
Ball.
And very often you hold, yeah, the Georgia at the heart and the bell, just slightly below the Georgia, but not much, yeah.
Why is it the left hand for the bell and the right hand?
Because the left is female and the right is male.
Yep.
Knowing and being. And some people are so strict when you're training with them that if you ever touch your bell with your left hand, your right hand, or your Georgia with your left hand, you have to do a whole ritual about it and, you know, get your bell and Dorje blessed again and, you know, do this whole thing. Very specific, you know, they're very specific. They say you must carry the Dorje and bell with you at all times, you know, once you have an initiation, you're supposed to always carry your Dorje and bell with you. That means the mind and the state of being, knowing and being in your own being. Must always remember what is time and what is space in your own being. Treat them appropriately. But, you know, like, sometimes it's very useful to carry ritual objects just to remind yourself that that's what you're doing. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Find that interesting? Did you all get to play?
A bit more segments.
They're around there somewhere. There was a whole stack of them. Go walk around and you'll find them. The bell on this one, according to one Rinpoche, is a little high. It should be the middle of the thick part of the bell should be at the rim. So when it breaks, I'll get a little longer. That one looks like it might be a touch long, but pretty close. Pretty close, just a touch long. That one. Yeah, that's not bad. So this one, see, it doesn't actually, the middle of the thing doesn't hit, but the end of the, it hits the inside of the bell rather than the rim.
Yeah.
On mine. Also, when you place them somewhere like that, oh, there's one right there. We're going to use that one too. You, I know some people tend to put the Dorje on one side and the bell on the other, but they should always be put together.
Mm.
That makes sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
You always put them together. Like that.
Which text are we using?
I got a different text than you.
Yeah.
Which one are we using?
We got. Who was in charge today?
Are we using the old one or the
which one is the old one? They're both about as old.
Okay.
Are we using the Sakya or the Kagyu?
I guess.
Which one is that?
This is the Kagyu.
No, it isn't. This is the khaki. Did you know that?
Well, I always thought it was the other way around.
I know, but I've told everybody that about 3 times, and I know nobody wants to believe it because that's the one they did first. They represent in their minds that one must be Kagyu because that's the one they identify with Namjo Rinpoche.
I'll go back to Kagyu Rinpoche.
Excuse me?
Well, I'm not trying to argue with you.
I'm telling you,
okay.
This one is the one that Kagyu Rinpoche does
okay. And
did all the time.
Okay.
This was his favorite one.
Okay.
This is a Kagyu text. That one's Shakya. Sakya turns and gave that to us in 1967.
Okay.
Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
But most people think that's the right one,
mm-hmm.
and this is that other one.
Okay.
And so therefore that one must be Kagyu.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that true?
Yes.
There is that bias, isn't it?
Yeah.
I really appreciate your being so forthright with it, because it's like for most of us, we don't even quite ever see it.
Mm-hmm.
Do we? And these little biases that stop us, you know, and then you pass it on. Well, that's the right one. This one isn't Kagyu, but this is from the if you look at the lineage, Marpa, Milarepa, Gampopa, who are they? Are they Sakya?
No, they're not Kagyu, yes. No.
Not at all, they're not. Interesting, huh?
Mm-hmm.
This one is the Kagyu, that one's the Sakya. We got it from Sakya Trenching.
So which one are we using? The
Kagyu? I don't know. Which one do you want to do?
You have the Kagyu, but is there any extra?
There's lots of them.
Yeah,
there's lots of them around.
Yeah.
I'm sure, aren't there? We have to ask the guy who sets up the room. Or whether maybe we all want to do one, whichever one we want.
Can we do both at the same time?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You want to do that?
That would be cool.
You want to do all whatever one you want and just
see what happens.
Really loud?
Chaos.
That's how you learn chanting Tibetans.
People doing different things at the same time?
Everybody, didn't we do that? Didn't I have you chant that way once? I swear I did. God, I just have abandoned you so many times, taught you so little.
We did that with the Forest Emptiness, and we did that really, really loud and fast once.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everybody just chants together, whatever they can. They don't stay in sync, they don't try to listen to each other. Just talk loud enough to hear, focus on your own voice, keep at it.
Can
you
see this?
Hmm?
Can you bring your glasses?
You got mine?
I don't know.
I don't think they'll work for you. You want to try them?
No, I'll try them.
Are you really myopic or really? Do you have astigmatism?
Yes, in my left eye. Didn't work very well.
For reading? Look through the bottom for reading.
I'm looking through the bottom.
For reading? For reading?
Yes.
Looking down at your text?
I'm looking at the bottom. The right eye doesn't work very well.
Try looking at the text. Can you read it?
No. I can't.
Okay, yeah, I didn't think they'd work. Well, so what, do you want to do the other one?
I don't care. No.
Okay.
It doesn't really matter.
Well, it's your decision.
It's my decision. I'm going to use the Kagyu.
Okay. Then you just hum along.
Do you
think?
Well,
you
just
okay.
No, I can't see.
There isn't another one?
No, there's not enough Kagyu.
Where else might they be?
I checked in there, but I couldn't find it, so.
Where else would they be?
It should be there.
But where else might
they
be?
No idea.
You don't have a file, or there's not a file in Kathy's room where they might be.
I wouldn't know where to check in that one. I could go through it, but
is not like I have a file with all the sadhanas. You don't have that. You don't have a file with C in it for Chinese and that you know of. So, but are there enough for the other one?
I think there is. Yeah,
there's lots of the other ones. I know.
Well, then go get them. We'll do the other one.
Okay.
We'll do the one that has the most tags.
Right on the shelf.
You want to hand me back the card you went, please? Do you still have the tape for the card you went? Remember I brought you a take of Zach chanting the card you win?
Yes.
You used to use?
Yeah. I have it on the CD.
Okay. Again, pigs is wild, but we do get there. Start handing them out, Bob, please. Everybody got one?
Yeah.
All right. We're in business.
I don't.
Chenrezig, meditation on Chenrezig, the compassionate
Bodhisattva.
Having prepared properly for
meditation.
First one should take refuge with faith in the teachers and those who have gone before. Had a great yearning for shelter in the midst of suffering. One should feel that this refuge can be obtained. And the Guru, as follows. All beings are my mothers, whose innumerable acts of kindness have nurtured me to now from beginning this time. It is sorrowful to know that so many beings are caught in the blindness of suffering. Through the powerful wholesomeness of
suffering.
For the benefit of all sentient beings,
may I
realize that great compassion which is inseparable from the activity
that
stirs
the
pit
of
sorrow. It is for this purpose that I am doing this meditation. Turning awareness within, contemplate the essential emptiness of one's being. Seeing the space rather than the molecules of form,
from
the top
of
the head
to
the soles
of
the
feet.
All feelings,
sounds,
thoughts
are
like the wind blowing east. Always watching over each patient, patient being, with a heart filled with love and kindness, immutable in his care. Now, with great sincerity and personal integrity, while concentrating on Chinese, one prays to him. As you are praying, so too are all sentient beings. All manifestation is united together in prayer to Chinese. Pray until you feel moved in your own stream of being, keeping a sense of the presence of Chinese. If you wish to do a formal prayer, say the following. We pray that you will praise the six classes of beings who now completely belong. This light comes from the whole body of Chinese and from the figure of Amitabha Buddha on his head, but it is especially strong from the heart of Chinese. Immeasurable and inconceivable white light pours from Chinese, pervading the entire universe inner and outer. This light bathes and purifies all creatures and creation. The outer form realms are made inseparable from Devachan, the Pure Land Paradise of Buddha Amitabha. All that is beautiful to the senses of sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, and heart is here. Joyousness of nature. One now begins to say the six-syllable mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum, along with all sentient beings. And from the multitude of throats comes a sound like the droning of thousands of bees. Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. White rainbow light continues to pour from the Chenrezig. Enters the crown of your head. Also enters the crowns of the heads of every sentient being. Om Mani Padme. Beings you wish to pray for. Om Mani Padme. Washes through the body, permeating your entire being. Om Mani Padme. the moon. The light fills you all in wholesomeness, resulting from body, speech, and mind activity, motivated by ignorance, is made whole. Om Manave Namo. Submissions are purified. When the light thoroughly cleanses one's being, there is no cause for future rebirth in unhappy states. Om Mani Padme. The light has completely filled yourself and all sentient beings. You and all manifestation become inseparable from the body, speech, and mind of the great compassion. The form of the Chenjus becomes even more clear and bright, shining yet empty like a rainbow.
All manifestation
is also rainbow light. From the smallest particle to the vastness of heaven. Here there is no differentiation, no meaning. All is dual luminosity. Outer, inner, and chenjusy become one. With the removal of obscuration, there remains only rainbow clarity without contrivance. Form, sound, awareness are inseparable. Sounds are the buzzing of the mantra of Chenjus. Now a six-petaled lotus lying flat forms in your heart. In its center, a beautiful white three syllable shines like a flame. On each of the petals stands one syllable of the mantra. Om. From the Om emanate innumerable syllables, which is white light, shine from the heart, striving in all directions to purify and fill all manifestation of the white light, of the perfection of mental stability. This light completely purifies all karmic propensities of pride, thus establishing the blue wisdom of equality, the realm of the gods. Repeat one rosary of the mantra, stressing the Om sound, and visualize the white light moving from your heart. Om. Spreading in all directions to purify and fill all manifestation with the clean light of perfection. This light completely purifies all karmic propensities of jealousy, thus establishing the Buddha wisdom of activity in the realm of the assurance. Repeat one rosary of the mantra, stressing the mantra, visualize the green light. Thank you. spreading in all directions to purify and fill all manifestation of the inner light of the perfection of morality, uniting body, speech, mind, merit, and performance. This light completely purifies all karmic propensities of ignorance causing doubt and desire, transforming samsara into the sphere of nirvana through spontaneous, non-human awareness, the realm of humans. Repeat one rosary of the mantra, stressing the knee sound, and visualize the yellow light moving. Syllables, which is sky blue light, shine from the heart, spreading in all directions to purify and fill all manifestation with the sky blue light of the perfection of diligence. This light completely purifies all karmic propensities of dullness and stupidity, thus establishing the Buddha wisdom of Dharma in the realm of animals. Repeat one rosary of the mantra, stressing the Pa sound, and visualize the sky blue light moving from your heart. Om Mani Padme. Om Mani Padme. And then may emanate innumerable may symbols, which is red light chanting, spreading in all directions to purify and kill all manifestation of the red light and affection to us. The light completely purifies all karmic propensities of tongue, thirst, grasping, and clinging, thus establishing the Buddha wisdom of discrimination, the realm of the goals the greatest. Repeat one rosary of the mantra, stressing the debate sound, and visualize the red light moving from your heart. visualize the six kinds of light returning to the creek, which shines with the diamond red light and set with the lotus feet. As the light returns, it is absorbed into the creek. Repeat one rosary of the mantra, visualizing the six colors of light returning to the release symbol. And sit in silence. White, home. Dissolve into light. This is dissolved into the rainbow body of Chenrezig above your head. The Chenrezig then absorbs this light to the crown of your head, merging with every cell of your being, especially your heart. Body now dissolves, becoming light. This is absorbed into the lotus and mantra in your heart. The six petals and the mantra absorbed into the free diamond ring. Free begins to shrink and dissolve simultaneously. Tell only a daughter. Dissolves. John Mercy reappears in a flash. Whatever reappears is the face of John Mercy. All manifestation is the body of John Mercy. All sound is the sound of the six-syllable mantra. All activity of mind is the essential emptiness of Dharma Kaya. Carry this thought with you throughout your day. Then, considering the lack of clarity and the confusion that still remains, consciously state the sharing of the wholesomeness of this practice with all sentient beings. Whatever wholesomeness has been gathered with this practice, we share with all sentient beings. Whatever wholesomeness has been gathered with this practice, we share with all beings. Whatever wholesomeness has been gathered by this practice, we share with all beings. Make the vow to continue to strive for purity of knowledge and compassion for the benefit of all beings. I vow to continue to strive for purity of knowledge and compassion for the benefit of all beings. The same, I pray to the greatly compassionate one to continue to look upon myself and to all others with loving care. questions, answers, comments, comments. How has it changed for you from the first time you did it?
Very, 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 very first time?
Oh, somewhere around there.
Okay.
Interesting question.
Some of it, it's more, well, yeah, I remember the first time doing it with you, actually. I was at Jack and Daisy's.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just coming in to the teaching. And I didn't know what you're talking about. Quite differently, I didn't. It was like a foreign language.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's flipped over now, of course.
So why did you stay? What was it? It's interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't the intellect, was it?
No, it wasn't, no.
It wasn't the intellect, so what was it? It's an interesting question,
yeah.
You know? Like, me too, it wasn't the intellect.
Mm-hmm. Not sure if I could answer that right, but... Yeah.
It's an interesting question. How has it changed for you, Chenrezig? Has Chenrezig changed or have I changed? That maybe is a nicer way of saying it.
I was going to say it, for me it has, when I first started doing it, there was a quality of I'm pretending to do it because that's what you're supposed to do. But now when I do it, there's a quality of it being more real than standing in line at the grocery store.
Yeah.
When I'm doing it, and it's I go, how can I be? Just feel like crying today. Just felt like crying the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Every week it, there's something different, some
something
different quality happening. I feel less when I don't know.
Mm.
It's really something.
Like Pat was saying, each time you do it, there's always something different that'll stand out, like a sentence or a particular.
That's the thing that is, to me, the most astounding about all these meditations, is that if you just keep doing it, all of a sudden you notice that every time you do it, it's different every time you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the most tiny little differences are huge ones. It almost doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Really, almost, after a while, you don't even start looking for the good ones. And you sit down and open up and see where you're going.
It's weird because it's not the same, like a better or worse than in
letting
going to school or something, you know. Mm-hmm. It opens in different areas.
It's almost like the weather or something. I don't know what, you know what I mean? Like if you don't argue about the weather, but oh yeah, now it's this. They're very skillful, aren't they? This form of meditation. Very skillful. And although one is intellectually doesn't understand it, the symbols actually relate to bodily experiences. So as you're doing it, you're actually bringing your awareness to different experiences of the energy in your physical body. And so it starts changing your mind. I remember one time, Andrea, when you, on my past story,
mm-hmm.
Andrea was doing a while ago, she was doing a million manjushri. When she was doing this manjushri and she was talking to me and she was telling me how people were telling her she was too sharp. That they were, you know, it was really terrible. It was like people were telling her, getting insulted by her. I just said, what meditation are you doing? And she said, well, I'm doing, I'm trying to finish a million Manjushri. I've almost finished them. So I said, well, why don't you try not doing it for a week and doing Green Tara instead? And let me know what happens. So she's talking to me later after that about something else. And I said, oh, by the way, whatever happened with... She said, oh, I did the Green Tara, but I don't know if it made any difference because, you know, not long after I talked to you, people didn't find me so sharp anymore. And she went, oh. And you don't even notice, in a way, with your intellect. You don't even notice. Like, if you try to see with your intellect what is changing, you can't tell, and you can easily doubt it. But if you look back over your experience, your being state in life, there is a shift. But our intellect is basically what we think is happening. Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Based on what names we have given for what's already happened to us, what we're clinging to from the past. Unless you're clinging to awareness as what you'd like to have happen from the past into the future, then you keep looking for certain patterns to repeat. So these meditations, they sort of program us to make our past experience and our future desire compassion, awareness, you know? That's what our mind starts looking for. Rather, the correct name will be compassion, not a bargain on tires this weekend. You know,
a good deal.
So Oscar Wilde has this incredible quote. You know, remember Oscar Wilde? He's one of my heroes. He said, "People know that nowadays people know the price of everything and the value of nothing." Nowadays people know the price of everything and the value of nothing. And I think these sadhanas, they bring us back into value, but we might not be so good at price. Who did what to who, or what does which to where might not be so true, but the value becomes more strong. So I was just wondering if you'd noticed that. So you start to actually value your own experience in the moment, even if it's nothing special. This is this willingness to be present with yourself. And so when you become ordinary, that's extraordinary.
Yeah. What I notice sometimes is it's almost in the analogy to washing dirt off of a jewel. Sometimes it's like this crap comes up while I'm doing the various colors. All of a sudden I'll find I'm like thinking about some totally mundane, stupid thing. And then almost like getting caught in it for a second. And I just toss it away and go on with it.
Oh, I don't want to do that?
Yeah.
I remember one time saying to my beloved teacher, because I noticed that I used to do the 35 confession before the 35 Buddhas with full prostrations before every wankor when I was your age. When I was your age, we used to walk through school through snow blizzards. No. I used to do these, you know, elaborate purification processes before every wankor. And then I'd go and sit in the wankor and I notice that, you know, if somebody banged me in the back of the, you know, because they tripped or something over the Torjian Valley grot or whatever, to get Rinpoche to bless or whatever, that this rage would come up. So I'd do twice as much purification for the next. I go to the wankor. And I'd be really pissed off because I put myself nicely in a corner out of everybody's way, but still making sure that I could see, and then somebody would sit right in my line of vision. So then I'd do twice as So finally one time I asked Rinpoche, I said, you know, how come? You know, I really try to, and I'm really happy as a Wongkor, and I'm so happy everybody's coming. And then I sit down, and as soon as we're there, it's just like this, you know, the most petty, miserable, rotten mind states I have in my entire life come up within the first 3 seconds sitting in the room with you. And he said something like, I don't remember exactly his words, but I remember the image he used was like, a Wongkor is a very bright light, and it shows the smallest imperfections, so that you have an opportunity to see what you don't want to forget to dust away. Interesting. This is another way of looking at it too. Those things that come up are the ones that, oh, by the way. All right, this kind of a habit. You must remember to throw it away. I think it's nice every you know, a few months or a couple of years to review, okay, what is this practice actually doing in my life? So you actually know for yourself what the practice does. And not intellectually, you know, because we're not talking intellectually, are we? It's good to ask right after the practice, because then you have a better sense of it. Like, you know, by the time we go downstairs and have a few little conversations, that it's not going to be Chang raising mind in the same way it is when you're doing the sit. Which is part of why the review is so important too, isn't that true? Review actually does help you be more conscious of how the meditation is different than your ordinary life. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Do you do? How many of you don't do reviews at all when you're on your own?
I just started 2 days ago.
Nick of time, huh?
Nick of time. Because there is something. There is this, and it's like, you know, when you see something out of the corner of your eye and you go to look at it and it's not there. There's something around the view that it likes, it catches that.
Yeah, there's something that you catch with your review that you don't catch.
Yeah.
Otherwise. And it makes it easier. You get better results from the practice. You don't have to do a big review and you don't have to get an answer. You just have to ask your mind, okay, what happened, and wait. And if you don't get any answers, that's not a failure. And most of us, we think you're supposed to get something from your review. You're supposed to do a review, and if something comes, great. If something doesn't come, great. The thing about cause and effect is that if you, whatever you ask for, you are going to get. So maybe you're not going to get it when you think you should. But it's still, it's, you know, it's in the mail. Your check's in the mail. It's coming.
It's like, I get a sense that I may not get it when I ask for it, but I will get it sometime when I, like, I'll need it. It'll be like...
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Which again, you learn how not to be so dependent, as you and I have learned, not to be so dependent on the intellect. I'm more dependent on discrimination. The intellect is sort of like really busily having its, like, you know, pegboard of right answers all in the proper order. Is that true? Mm-hmm. It's like a pegboard, isn't it?
Sure.
Who moved answer number 17-3? It should have been right there. Oh, oops, I didn't. Okay. Well, I probably had a reason. Because it's like a security, isn't it? Like going to have the right answers all lined up. But discrimination is more interested in being present and feeling the quality of something rather than applying labels on things. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Would you say that would be?
Yeah.
There's a big difference between those two. Again, discrimination has a lot of confidence. Doesn't have to have an answer. Is looking for a new experience. It's not a pegboard that has, you know. And so doing a review really helps that, you know, letting go of answers too, because the mind that wants to have the right answers is going to be purely frustrated by a review. So you're going to say what happened, and it's going to go like nothing.
It's the wrong answer. I'm supposed to have something happen. I'm doing a review.
So the poor pegboard has to like collapse. And then there's, oh yeah, it's sort of an interesting feeling. I'm not sure exactly what happened. Oh well, okay, get up. And then 10 minutes later, oh, that's what happened. Tiniest little thing. Tiniest little thing. The light on a branch. But a being state. Yeah? A discriminating state, not an answer. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Most of our education is based on us having right answers, not in being present. Getting, not in receiving. So we don't have a feeling that somehow it's right for us to be receptive in our intellect. That we're supposed to be competitive almost in our intellect. Huh? Who's the best? Kind of thing. That's who gets the best marks, you know. Scholarships. So to actually teach oneself how to be receptively intelligent. It's good. Review is really good for that. Ask a question, but don't have to get an answer. That's a good idea. I see if an answer comes when, you know, the real boss is ready to tell you, not the monkey. Anyway, that's all I want to talk about. Hopefully, that was interesting to
you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your kindness in having me come. Good feeding and supporting me. Your continued friendship. Very important.
Thanks for your friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Lean on.
Denise?
Lean on.
Oh, yes.